there came through the wilderness of Judea a strange, unusual, peculiar man. His speech was different. His clothing was different. He wore camel's hair. His diet was unusual. He feasted on locusts and wild honey. He was a peculiar person. When some folks came forward in invitation time, he sent them back to their seat and said, "Bring forth fruit, meat, repentance before you come." He spoke not of himself. He spoke of another who was yet to come. He said that he was not worthy to unloose the shoes latchet of the one who was to come. He said of the one to follow him, "He is preferred before me." He said of him, "He must increase and I must decrease." He said, "I am come to baptize with water, but he shall baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost." He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And then he comes to that day for which he was born, the time that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb and leaped in his mother's womb at the presence of Mary as she was carrying the Christ child. He points and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And by the way, that's basically what every person is supposed to do. We're supposed to say, "He must increase, and I must decrease." We're supposed to say, "He is preferred before me." We're supposed to point to this sin-cursed world and say, "That's the answer, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And so he comes, this Lamb of God. He comes not as they expected him to come. He rides no prancing steed. He wears no royal robe. He wields no studded scepter. He is flanked by no guarding sentry. He bears no glistening crown. He adorns no kingly robe. He owns no palatial mansion. The truth is, he owns no property. He owns no house. He owns no bed. Why, he's a man of sorrows, rejected and despised and acquainted with grief. He's not a king on a throne. He's an humble man, walking like normal men walk. He's not a powerful-looking man. He's the holy man of Galilee, whose feet shall walk the sandy shores of Galilee and beside the rough waters and muddy waters of the Jordan River. And yet, he'll enter into no palace. He will sit on no throne. He will have no subjects cheering him. He will ride no white horse to a coronation. He's just the lowly man of Galilee. But what a life. What a life. For 33 years, he lived among us. When he saw somebody who was hungry, he fed them. When he saw somebody who was cold, he clothed them. When he saw somebody who was lonely, he went to them. When he saw someone who was sad, he cheered them. When he saw someone who was discouraged, he encouraged them. He loved children. He blessed his enemies. He blessed those that cursed him. He prayed for those that despitefully used him. He forgave those who crucified him. What a life. The Bible says while he was here, multitudes came to him and multitudes believed on him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I belong today to that multitude. I'm glad the message of this stranger of Galilee. I'm glad his message came from the Middle East, across Europe, and across the ocean to America. And I'm glad that a faithful preacher of the gospel one day stood behind a pulpit and said about the same thing that John the Baptist said of Jesus 2,000 years ago. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And this morning, if you've never come to him, you've missed the real purpose of life. If you've never come to him, you've missed the real joy of life. If you've never come to Him, you've missed the peace of God. Oh, I know what the heretics say. I know what the Hollywood crowd says. I know what the humanist says. I know what the state universities say. But they're all full of prunes. The honest truth is that the answer for your need is that one that walked the shores of Galilee, the one who loved to heal the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils and stilled the storm, that one who loved those who hated Him, and the one who prayed for those that despitefully used Him, and the one who fulfilled the law, and after He fulfilled the law, He went to Calvary and took upon Himself your sin and my sin, and stood before the judgment bar of God, and saw God the Father turn His back upon Him, and He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Let the world seek its answers in the salt fetus. Let the world seek its answers in the bottle. Let the world seek its answers in the needle. Let the world seek its answers in pot. Let the world seek its answers in pleasure. But there never has been since man was created, and there never will be as long as man is flesh, one single human being who's found peace of heart till he came to this stranger of Galilee, of whom it was said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Multitudes believed on Him. I wish I could say that they continued and followed all the way. But from those multitudes, there came 5,000 people who stayed close to Him. These were faithful people. They were always there. When He fed the 5,000, they were the ones that He fed. When He performed His miracles, the 5,000 were near Him. The multitudes that followed Him, the 5,000 stayed close to Him. 5,000 He could depend on. 5,000 were always there. 5,000 were faithful. In 1981, I want to rise from that multitude and become a member of the 5,000 faithful people. I want to be in church every Sunday morning of 1981. I want to come back every Sunday night of 1981. I want to be here every Wednesday night of 1981. I want to be faithful to Jesus every day of 1981. There's something about me that isn't satisfied just to be a part of those who are saved. I've never liked people say, well, brother, do you go to hell if you do that? Oh, there's more to the Christian life than just going to heaven or going to hell. It seems to me that if it's worth anything, it's worth everything. I've said so often, you can check the pages of this book all you want to, and you'll not find one verse where Jesus says, seek ye second the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You'll not find one verse that says, give me some of your heart. But you'll find this book is loaded with such statements as, all of your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I challenge you this morning on this second Sunday of 1981. I challenge you to say, saved? Yes. But I'm going to be more than saved. I'm not going to get to heaven so as by fire. I'm not going to get to heaven for the skin of my teeth. I'm going to be more than saved. I'm going to be faithful. I never have understood why anybody would come across the country to go to college and pay tuition to go to college and want to cut a class. I've never understood that. Can't comprehend it. Good night. If you're here to plan to serve God, if you want to serve God, you ought to be in every single class. I don't care what it is. You ought to say, I'll be there. Now, if you're too sick to go, that's different. But these folks, how many cuts do I have left? All fooey on that kind of stuff. You can be a saved person and just be a part of the multitude. But I'll tell you, I want to be a kind of person that rises above the multitude. I want to join that 5,000 people who said, I'll be there. You can count on me. I'll always be there. I'll be faithful. But there, I wish I could say that these 5,000 people stayed and did all they should, but I cannot say that. From this 5,000 people, there came another group. There came 500 of them who preserved or persevered and were preserved until the end time. 500 of them. Now, multitudes believed. 5,000 were faithful, but 500 stood the test. When Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane's garden, 500 stayed. When Jesus, after He was crucified and risen from the dead, the Bible says He appeared to 500. Wasn't as popular to be a Christian as it was back yonder. Wasn't as popular to follow Him as it had been. He now has been crucified. He now has been arrested and tried and scourged and crucified. But thank God, 500 were there after, even after he was resurrected. I want to be a part. Not just that multitude that believe. I want to be a part of those 5,000. But I want to get even in a more elite group than that. I want to be a part of the 500 that are willing to stand beside him, even when he was unpopular. When they laugh at work, you still say, I belong to Jesus. Make fun of you, you say, still, I belong to Jesus. I want to be a part of that 500 people that say, I love this book, no matter who doesn't love it. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a brand of so-called fundamentalism today that wants to wear white gloves, be accepted. Hail, hail the gangs all here. Let me tell you something. The captain of our salvation was crucified, hated by this old world, and the world that hated him is not going to love you if you're the kind of person you ought to be. I want to be the kind that stands up for Jesus at work. I want to be the kind that stands up for Jesus at school. I want to belong to that great multitude of believers, but I want to rise above that. And I want to belong to 5,000 people who are faithful, and I want to rise above that. And I want to belong to the 500 people who will be willing to say, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. I want to belong to those that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I want to belong to that crowd of, I don't want to join the army and spend my time in the kitchen cooking. Never could understand anybody want to join the army and be a cook. When I joined the army, I didn't want to be in the quartermaster corps giving out uniforms to all the people. When I joined the army, I want to get me a gun and I want to shoot somebody's gizzard. Yeah, you sit with the house. Hey, I'm just simply saying this. I'm saying that I want to be identified as one of those. If I'm a sinner at Great Lakes, I want folks to say, that fellow's a Christian. And I want to stand up and say, yes, I am, and blessed be God for it. If I'm a student at a school, and somebody says, that person is square, I want to stand up and say, yes, I am square. If not drinking liquor square, I'm square. If not taking dope is square, I'm square. If not using God's name in vain is square, I'm square. If not necking and petting like heathen do is square, I'm square. If loving this Bible is being square, I'm square. If going soul winning is square, I'm square. I want to say it at work and at play, wherever I go. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it, I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I've been born again. I want to join that 500 people. After the crucifixion is over, they're still with him. After the suffering is over, they're still with him. When the stigma of the church on the church is settling down, and when the persecution is about to begin, I want to belong to that 500, those 500 people who say, I stuck. I've said it so often. I'll say it again. How I thank God this morning for that little group of people in this room, little in comparison to the great crowds that assemble here. But that little group of people in this room who 22 years ago, next August the 30th, greeted this pastor and you members of this church. And you stayed during good sermons and bad sermons. And you stayed during victories and defeats. And you stayed during troubles and successes. And you stayed during sunshine and shadows. And you stayed during noontime and midnight. And you said, this is my church and that's my preacher. And I'll say, thank God for those people. When the stigma has come, you stayed. When the battles have come, you stayed. When the losses have come, you stayed. When reversals have come, you stayed. I want to be the kind of person that stands beside him no matter where I am. I'm tired of people when they come to the restaurant to eat, they're ashamed to bow their heads and pray. Join the 500 folks who are not ashamed of Jesus. I mean, don't join that crowd of people when it's time to pray at the restaurant to blow in the nose crowd. Oh, thank you for the food. Amen. Rise then, soldier. Rally round the banner. Ready, steady, fast or long. Onward, forward, shout out. Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. In 1981, I not only want to belong to the army of the Lord, I want to carry a gun and a shield.
I want to join that 500.
Being a part of the believers, that doesn't by itself satisfy me. I want to rise from the multitude and join the 5,000. But that doesn't completely satisfy me. I want to leave the 5,000 and join the 500 who are loyal to the end. But from that 500, there comes another group. It's time to go to the upper room. It's time to pray. It's time to pray down the power of God. It's time to hang on at the altar of intercessory prayer. And at that meeting, we're down now to 120. We started off with a multitude of believers. Narrowed down to 5,000 faithful people. I want to belong to that crowd. Narrowed down to 500 who were loyal and willing to stand during the persecution. And I want to belong to that number. But now it's narrowed down to 120. And I want to belong to that group of people who pray. Who pray. Not many folks pray. Multitudes are saved, but they don't pray. 5,000 were faithful, but they don't pray. 500 were persecuted, but they don't pray. I'm talking to a great crowd of people this morning. Over 5,000 people sitting in this room, in all the nooks and crannies of this room this morning. I'm sure over 5,000 people in this room. And I dare say not 120 of you have really spent as much as 15 minutes this week alone with God on your face before God in believer's prayer. Oh, you said thank you for the food. You said God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for the food. You said, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You said make us thankful for these and all the blessings. But I mean that I dare say not 120 folks in this room this morning have really grabbed both the horns of the altar any time this week and begged God and knocked on the door of God and walked with God in prayer. Somehow that doesn't satisfy me just to belong to the believers. I want to join the 5,000 who are faithful. And that doesn't satisfy me alone. I want to belong to the 500 who stand this persecution. But that doesn't satisfy me. I want to join that little crowd of people that know what it is to walk with God. In 1981, I want to pray. Take time to pray every day. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you, in the name of Christ your Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary, prayer can change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Let me tell you something, folks. I want to belong to that crowd in the upper room. When the blessings come, I want to say I prayed them down. I love to drive by Miles Anderson College. Remember those nights I prayed out there, my feet bare, walking up and down the hills of that 78 acres out there, begging God to give us that campus. I love to walk out there and over drive out there and remember that those nights I walked and prayed and begged God for that campus. I love to walk down this aisle right here and put my hand out there on a pew. This was a wall at one time. One morning, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, this whole building was supposed to was on fire, and the building here was destroyed, and the building over there was destroyed. This auditorium was 3 months old, just half of it. I put my hand on that building, and I said, oh, God, save this building. We need it. We've got to have it. I love to stand it up back there and remember those days. Oh, listen. Listen, if you have not learned to pray, I mean if you've not learned to walk with God and get on your face before God by day and by night, you're missing
one of the most joyous and most blessed parts of the entire Christian experience. In 1981, why don't you decide to join the 120? Be a part of the praying crowd. That 120. How I thank God. What I learned in college 35, 36 years ago. I thank God. And I don't mean to boast, but I thank God I learned how to get things from God. Oh, these years of blessing and these years of answered prayer. I never have been a very gifted man. I've never been a real talented person, especially a young man. I've never had the natural gifts that some others have. But I learned one day there's a God in heaven. Oh, I wish you knew that. There's a God in heaven. And He's more than a century walking guard.
He is Jehovah Jireh. He is God, our provider.
God has things for you this year. Young men in college, you don't have to go. You don't have to drop out of college if you learn to walk with God.
You can get a job. There are jobs available. There's a God in heaven.
Oh, I'd like to grab everybody this morning and say, Hey,
listen to me. There's a God up there, and that God is able to supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
I can understand you folks want to stay out the fringe all the time. Now, I like the action. I love the action. If I see a fire truck going down the street, I follow it. And the bigger the house, the more I enjoy it. You say, you want houses? I don't want houses to burn, but they got to burn. I want to see them. I come down the street, the policeman comes by me. The first place, I look by me and see that flashing light. Oh, is there a happier time in the world? Is there, Rolaids can't give the relief I'm talking about. Is there a happier time in the world when you look up in the mirror and see that flashing light? And then you have that, all of a sudden, let down feeling. And you see yourself 20 years behind bars all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden, he goes past you. Oh, joy, oh, delight. Should we go without finding? He goes past you. And then I follow him. Yeah. He won't get you for speeding. He's going after some bigger prey than you. I like the action. I never have liked to sit in the end zone. I like to sit on the 50-yard line, I think. Never did, but I think I would. I like the action. And I cannot comprehend Christian people that just want to barely get inside. I'm talking to folks this morning. All you are is a part of that multitude.
You believe. Okay, you're going to heaven. Okay, your name is written in glory. Okay, but there's something greater than that.
There are 5,000 people that are faithful, and you can be that. And there are 500 of those 5,000 that stand the test in battle, and you can do that. And there are 120 people who know how to pray, and you can be that. From the multitude, there came 5,000. From the 5,000, there came 500. From the 500, there came 120. From the 120, there came 70. 70. Who were these 70? These 70 are people who witnessed. 70. Our Lord sent out to witness. These were the nuts. These were the ones that passed out tracts on the street. These were the ones the policemen stopped. I've never understood why in the world our policemen ought to spend their time trying to arrest somebody for telling somebody how to go to heaven when you got dope peddlers going all over this county. Never understood that. Never understood why a bunch of city officials are more worried about somebody getting out the gospel of how to get to heaven when you die than a bunch of folks trying to wreck and ruin our young people with liquor and dope and narcotics and all the rest of the garden.
I went out soul winning and somebody made fun of me. Hey, good. You about to join the 70. Yeah.
That crowd, I want to belong to that crowd preaches on the street. I want to belong to that crowd that goes in the tavern and passes out tracts. Of course, you don't. You want to belong to the sevenfold amen crowd. I want to belong to the sevenfold preaching crowd. You want to belong... He'll Dr. Rice, God bless him. He always had the best way of saying everything. He said, everybody wants to be in the army of the Lord, but everybody wants to be in the quartermaster corps. Nobody wants to get bloody. Nobody wants to be a New Testament Christian. I want to rise above the multitudes and become a member of that crowd of faithful 5,000 and that crowd of persecuted 500 and that crowd of a praying 120. But in 1981, old Jack Hiles wants to spread the blessed tidings all the world around and get the message of Christ out. I'll say this very, very honestly, sincerely, but lovingly. If you're not telling folks how to go to heaven, you're not right with God. You have in your Bible the message of hope for eternal life. If there is a hell and people who die go there and burn forever, then you know the answer. And you're not much of a Christian unless you're spreading it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this Bible. I believe this Bible teaches that there are two destinations for mankind after death, hell or heaven. I believe that men that turn down Jesus Christ and don't receive Him go to hell.
And I believe those that go to hell burn forever and ever and ever. And I believe that Jesus and the grace of God through faith in Calvary is the answer.
In 1981, I want to be telling folks about it. I want to be taken from that multitude to join the 500 faithful. I want to rise above the 5,000 faithful to the 500 who are standing through testing. I want to rise above that crowd of the 120 who pray. And I want to rise above that crowd to the 70 who witnessed. But from the 70, there came a smaller crowd. There came the 12 who gave all. The 12 who gave all.
From the multitude who believed, to the 5,000 who were faithful, to the 500 who stood testing, to the 120 who prayed, to the 70 who went soul winning, to the 12
who gave all. I want to, in 1981, I want to belong to that crowd. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. 12 left all and followed Him. 36 years ago last week, I knelt beneath the Texas sky. Just a little 92-pound sort of introverted fella without gifts. Couldn't make a speech. Timid as could be. Introvert of introverts. Shy. Failed public speaking in high school. Looked up to the Texas sky and I said, "Dear God, I don't have much to give. I can't give you what Joe Boyd gave you, a big giant of a football player, All-American. I can't give you what Joe Boyd could give you. But I said, "Dear God, I can give you all of what I do have." And that's all God wants. You don't have to be strong. God just wants you. God doesn't want beauty. God wants you. God doesn't want talent. God wants you. And God knows I gave it to Him. And I wish I had time to tell you this morning and the vocabulary to describe what God has done with what little I had to give. God's not concerned about how much you give. God's concerned how much you have left over. God's concerned how much you keep. I challenge you in 1981. I challenge you. Rise above that multitude and join that fire crowd of 5,000 faithful people. And I challenge you to rise above that 5,000 faithful people and join that 500 folks who stand the test and are glad to bear the shame of the name of Christ. I challenge you to rise above that 500 and join the 120 who pray. And I challenge you to rise above that 120 who pray and join the 70 who witness. And I challenge you to rise above the 70 who witness and join the 12 who give everything. From that 12 came three. Peter, James, and John. The inner circle. When He healed, when He raised the dead, they were with Him. When He went to the Mount of Transfiguration, they were with Him. From the multitude came the 5,000. The 5,000 came the 500. The 500 came the 120. From the 120, there came the 70. From the 70, there came the 12. From the 12, there came the three. The inner circle. And from the three, there came the one. Beloved John, when the multitudes had left, John's head was upon the breast of the Savior. When the 5,000 faithful ones were no longer faithful, John's head rested upon the breast of our Lord. When the 500 people that stood the test were no longer standing the test, John's head rested upon the breast of our Lord. When the 120 who prayed were no longer praying, John's head rested upon the breast of our Lord. When the 70 went soul winning, no longer soul winning, John's head rested upon the breast of our Lord. When the 12 who gave all had forsaken Him and fled, John's head rested upon the breast of our Lord. When the three, even Peter, had cursed and sworn and denied Him, John's head rested upon the breast of our Lord. Listen carefully, I'm through. I do not know if this is true. I think it is. I've always felt that John Rice, my beloved friend of many years who went to heaven a few days ago, I've always felt that John Rice had a special seat right close to Jesus. I've always felt that that when Jesus needed somebody to lean upon His breast, I've always felt that John Rice was the one. At 2 o'clock in the morning, when the phone rang, and Dr. Walt Hanford said, Dr. Rice has gone to heaven. I walked in my den at home, sitting there in my pajamas with bare feet. I sat a while. I saw an empty chair. And I said, Dear Jesus, if you need somebody to fill it, right close to you, if you don't have anybody else in mind, I'd be glad to sit there. I've never understood anybody who wanted to be saved and not faithful. I've never understood people who want to be faithful and not stand the test. I've never understood people who belong to the 500 didn't want to join the 120 in prayer meeting. I've never understood those in the prayer meeting didn't want to join the 70 that went soul winning. I've never understood folks who want to belong to the 70 out soul winning and not belong to the 12 who gave everything. I've never understood those who want to belong to the 12 who gave everything and not belong to the inner circle of the 3. I've never understood anybody who wouldn't rather sit right next to Jesus. I must tell you this. This is not a new story to you. But I feel it. I feel I must tell it. Graduation day about 4 or 5 years ago, when Hammond Baptist High School commencement was over, I was talking to your daughter, Al Leslie, in my office after the service. It must have been 11:15 at night. As you know, the graduation services are lengthy. When I was talking to Leslie Gomez about her future, a knock came on the door. I went to the door, and it was Dave Hiles. Dave's face was disfigured. I've never seen him cry like he cried. He said, Dad, I've got to see you. I've got to see you. And I said, Son, I have an appointment. I'll see you when I get through. He said, Dad, I've got to see you now. He said, Dad, I've never asked you this before, but I've got to see you now. I said, Leslie, I'll be back in a minute. I stepped across the hallway into Mrs. McKinney's office. I sat behind Mrs. McKinney's desk, and I said, What is it? No, I stood behind her desk. What is it, Doc? And Dave said, Ted. He said, It's those kids that graduated. I'm the youth director, but they're not under my youth program anymore. It just all of a sudden dawned on me, Dad. They're gone now from the youth program. And I said, Doc, that's not what you're upset about. I can read your tears and I can read your heart, and that's not it. What is it, son? And Dave said, Dad, I love those kids. And I've loved them, and I've loved them, and I've loved them. And he said, Dad, before I go to bed tonight, I just had to get with somebody that could love me back as much as I love him. And I said, You found him, Doc. And we embraced. And he got the love returned, commensurate to the love he gave. He started to walk away, and I said, Hold it, Doc. That's why your dad's alone a lot. That's why your dad doesn't live a normal life like a lot of people do. I said, You ever think about Jesus? Nobody can love him back like he loves. He loves and he loves and he loves and he loves. And nobody can ever give him that kind of love back. And I said, Son, I can never give him until I see him the kind of love he gives to me. But I can do my best to grow in grace and walk with him. And maybe I can give him a little bit nearer like his love, the love he gives to me. My desire for 1981 is to lean on his breast. Our Heavenly Father,